Amen. Hello. It's good to see you again. I haven't seen you for a long time. I've been busy this summer, as I'm sure you have been. I've had lots of different opportunities to speak around the country and been doing that to some of our sister churches, but I'm glad to be here tonight. One thing that I did that I'm sure you want to know about is I had my summer vacation. Does anybody have any idea what I got to do on my summer? Yes. We got to go to see the Butter Cow at the Iowa State Fair. It's an annual tradition for me to show you the picture of the Butter Cow from the Iowa State Fair. And I know you're thinking the Utah State Fair has a Butter Cow, and I tend to disagree with you because I think it's probably margarine at the best, not even a Butter Cow. Fake, I think. So yeah, we got to go enjoy the Butter Cow. And that's Mary's twin sister there. She got an identical twin sister. And it was a lot of fun. We're just glad to be back here. And if you're new with us and you're thinking, the first thing the pastor shows is a picture of a butter cow, you think, this is a weird church. And I answer that, yep, we're weird, that's for sure. Welcome, you're going to fit right in to this church, okay? So how do we segue from butter cow to the one? Well, just like the butter cow is the one and only true butter cow, Jesus is the one. He is the one. Culturally, he is the one spiritually, he's the one historically, he's the one grammatically, he is the one of everything, okay? He is the one. He has changed this world unlike any other person in history. And that's what this series is all about. Tonight, I want to talk about how Jesus is the one psychologically that he has changed the minds of millions of people, which has changed their actions. And that's really what psychology is all about. Definition is a simple definition, the study of the mind and its effects on human behavior. And really what we think affects what we do. It absolutely does. And how does Jesus make a difference in our lives psychologically? He does that by transforming our minds with truth. Now, we can be transformed with a lot of things, even things that are lies, and it will affect how we live. Jesus gives us truth. Now, some of the things I'm going to share, you've heard before, but we need to be reminded of these things. I need to be reminded. So we know that by revealing truth, Jesus transforms our lives. And that's what I titled my message, The Transforming One. That's Jesus. I like this. Once we understand and believe, it's not just understanding and hearing it. We got to believe it. Get it in our heart. Once we understand and believe the biblical reality of our true identity, the truth of who Jesus says we are, we will gain power to live different lives. We will gain power to live a transformed life, maybe a different life than you're living right now. That is why Jesus is the one, the transforming one. He has changed this message. These truths have changed my life more than I think almost anything else in my Christian life. As I've absorbed these and believed these and lived these, it's changed the way I live. You say, but how? Well, it all starts in our minds. We see this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by letting your mind be brainwashed with truth from Jesus. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I like what Shelley Hendricks, she's an author, she said, we do not behave out of our identity. We behave out of our understanding of our identity in Christ. And I believe that's so true. We behave out of our understanding of who Jesus says we are. And that's what we want to look at. We want to look at the fact that the way we think and what we believe in our minds affects our actions. It affects what we do. And that is so important. So what I want to do now is show you a video clip I haven't shown for at least a decade. And this video clip is so near and dear to me because I see so many spiritual ramifications in it. It goes way back. This clip is from the original Lion King show, okay? I mean, way back, the cartoon. It's a four-minute clip. Now, let me set it up for you because some of you haven't watched it for a while, but you're going to want to watch it after you see this. Keep in mind, here's what it is. Simba, the little lion cub, he was born and he was the king of Mufasa. He was the heir apparent, okay? He was next in line to be thrown, just like Charles III, okay? Just like that. But he was lied to by his uncle Scar. Everybody say boo for Scar. He's no good. He's like the devil, okay? And he's lied to, and he's told that little cub by his uncle says, you killed your father. And Simba believes it, and he runs away in guilt and fear and shame, and he lives that way for many, many years. Then Scar destroys everything. Again, the devil wants to lie to us so he can destroy everything around us. That's what the devil does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. John 10:10. And that's what Scar did. But then an old wise baboon called Rafiki shows up, points him to his father, and the father shares truth with Simba, and Simba believes the truth, and it changes the course of his life, and everybody lives happily ever after. All because his mind got changed. Watch this clip, and we'll get into the teaching.
Oh. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope! Wrong again!
He's alive! And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on! Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Would you slow down?
Stop! Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son, and the one true king. Remember.
No, please, don't leave me. Father, don't leave me.
What was that? The weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm gonna take your stick.
No! Not a stick! Hey! Where are you going?
I'm going back!
Good! Come on! Get out of here!
Oh,
Does that bring back memories? Christian, could it be that you and I are more than what we become? Could it be that we've forgotten who we are? That we're a child of the King? That we're a royal priesthood? That we're completely forgiven? And you see, the first thing Rafiki told him, asked him, says, what are you going to do? And that's the question I have for you tonight. What are you going to do based on who you are? And I want to remind you who you are tonight. I hope it changes what you do. So let's get into it. We're going to look at three truths that are going to transform our lives. They're going to unlock transformation in our lives. Let's get right into it here. First one is this, and you have some blanks that you can pull out and fill out as we go. Three keys to unlocking a transformed life. First one is this, you need to renew your thoughts. It has to do with our thoughts. It starts with our thoughts. And everything you do, I believe this, everything we do emanates out of who we are. Who we think we are. Not even who we are, but who we think we are. So, Christian, I ask you, who do you think you are? Think about that. Who are you? Oftentimes when we're asked that question, we say, we go right to what we, our work, our employment. I'm an engineer. I'm a teacher. I'm an administrator. I'm a father. We go to our family. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a grandfather. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. Who are you in Christ? Just a struggling sinner? Is that who you are? If that's your identity, I guarantee you're going to struggle with sin. If you see your true identity as a Christian, as a struggling sinner, because that's not how God sees you. It's not how God sees you. I love what Ben Carson says this. It's all in our minds. He says, you are what you think. He's a famous neurosurgeon, politician, outspoken Christian. He says, you are what you think. Where do you think he got that? From the Bible. In Proverbs, Solomon says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. As we think, so we are. That's what the Bible says. What do we think we are? Who do you think you are? The father of American psychology said this. Well, actually, no, I got to get to this verse. This is a key, a super key verse for our time today. Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be, say it with me, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have you been transformed? Do you believe what God says? William James, father of American psychology, says, the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life, what he does, by altering his attitudes of mind. Who do you think you are? You are what you think. If you don't believe me, just the other day somebody asked me, do you golf? Are you a golfer? To which I answered laughingly, no, I'm not a golfer. Well, do you golf? Oh, yeah, I golf. You're not a golfer? No, I'm not a golfer. But you golf? Yeah. Think about that. Somebody asked me, are you a sinner? I say, no. Not a sinner. Do you sin? Oh, yeah, all the time. And I believe that with all my heart. But I am not a sinner in my nature. I'm a new creature in Christ. The old's gone. That's what the Bible says. Do you golf? Yes. Are you a golfer? No. But if you ask these guys, if you ask Tiger Woods, are you a golfer? What would he say? Yes. Oh, yeah. He's a golfer. That's his identity. So what would you expect that Tiger Woods would do during a typical week? What's one thing he might do? He'd golf. You expect that. You wouldn't necessarily expect that of me. Tom Brady, what is he? What's his identity? Okay, thank you. We know these fans right here. He's greatest of all time. He's a football player. And he's so much of a football player, he can retire and then 3 months later go, I can't stand it. Because who I am is a football player. I got to get back into it. Because that's who he is. Christian, who are you? Who are you? The real question is, what does God say you are? That's what you got to answer. Who does God say you are? Because I believe you can't say no to your essential nature, who you really are. Once you believe it, you can't say no to it. We will act within that identity. Whatever it is we believe, we'll act even if we don't like it. Have you ever heard the phrase, abusers abuse? Now, it's not true in all cases, but we know that phrase because it is true a lot of the times. People see themselves as abusers, so that's how they were raised, and that's what they do, even if we don't like it. In World War II, The Nazis knew this, so when they got people in their concentration camps, one of the first things they did was take away their sense of identity. They stripped their self-worth and identity by telling, they never called them by their name. From right when they got in there, they tattooed a number on their arms. And from that point on, that's all they called them. You're just a number. You have no worth. Nobody likes you. You're not even a human being. We're going to call you a number. They never called them a name. So to break them down, to believe they had no self-worth so that they could control them. That was a psychological tool. They affected their minds, which affected their actions. Maybe some of you experienced that in your life. Maybe you've been labeled. I know some of you have. I know I have. And some of the labels aren't very good. But they affect us, don't they? You've heard it. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You're not worthy to be here. You can't do that. You'll never be able to do that. You never do anything right. You always mess things up. You're ugly. You're fat. You're worthless. Nobody likes you. You're not forgiven. That's Satan's big lie. You're not forgiven. God doesn't love you. How could he love you? And we hear that lie. I guarantee if you believe that lie, it will affect your walk with Christ. But that is not true. Those are lies. And author Joyce Meyer, she says it this way, if you accept what people call you, you will start to believe it. Find your identity in Christ, not in what others say. And I say amen to that. In fact, I would say, let's let our identity work for us. Let's understand that we are more than what we become. Remember who we are in Christ. I'm going to get into it in a second here. Who does God say we are? And believe it. And let our identity in Christ work for us. Amen? And not believe the lies, but believe what Jesus says about us. Again, I ask you, Christian, who do you think you are in Christ? What is your identity? How do you see yourself? How do you think God sees you? We're going to discover that, and I think it'll change what you do. So that's the first key to unlocking transformed life, is to renew your thoughts. Number two is to embrace your identity, the identity that God gives you. And just let me give you a little clue. The real you is new. You're new. If you're born again, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you are brand spanking new. In fact, your essential being has been radically changed at salvation. It's been radically changed. And some of us need to be reminded of this, that you're all new. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Yes. Then this is speaking to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I love the King James says, behold, the old is gone and the new has come. Like this is an incredible truth that will change your life. You've been transformed. You've been radically changed. When we had our first child, 1994, Joseph, I guarantee you, we didn't go to some baby manufacturing company 9 months before he's born and pick one out and say, we want this one. Could you make it for us and send it to us? And we didn't go to a baby store where they had babies and bottles on shelves, and we just picked a baby, and we took him off that day and took him to the hospital and pretended like, you know. No, that little boy was not there 9 months before. There was no Joseph young. He was not there. He was created, what? Brand new. He was a new creation. That's why God uses that language of being born again. Because you're a new creation as a Christian. Just like my son was brand spanking new in this world. Someone that wasn't there before. Now he's there. That's what the Bible says about you and I. In fact, I love what David Needham says. He wrote a book called Birthright that I love. He says, contrary to much popular teaching, becoming a Christian is more than having something taken away, i.e. your sins. It's more than that. Or having something added to you, a new nature or the Holy Spirit. It's more than that. It is becoming someone you had never been before. Brand new creation. That is radical. And if we don't believe that, it will affect our lives. You gotta see that our deepest identity comes from God and will affect our actions. What does Jesus say? He says it this way. In John 3, 5 through 7, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. You must be. Are you born again? Jesus says, don't be surprised. I'm the one that's saying it. You got to be born again of the Spirit. That's talking about the new birth. Let me give you a real world example for me. In high school, I'll just say it this way. I was a partier. I drank every weekend. We partied every weekend. And I remember getting drunk when I was in seventh grade. That was the first time I got drunk. We stole wine from, my dad used to make wine, and then we stole beer from a store, and we went under some bushes, and that was the first time I got drunk. Seventh grade, but it just went on through high school into college every single weekend. And yeah, I don't know if I had a drinking problem or not, but a lot of beer was drank in those years. I'll just say that. But here's the crazy thing. Something happened toward the end of this, every summer, that my life radically changed, and I stopped drinking cold turkey and didn't drink another drop for about 4 months. You know what happened? I stopped having my identity being a partier, and my identity became a football player. And I'm not kidding you when I say toward the latter part of August when our coach would call us together and we'd have two-a-day practices, and I was most of the time I was a captain of the team, and he'd get the captains together and say, men, the season started, not another drink of alcohol. You guys are leaders. I don't want to hear that you drank another drop. And we said, yes, sir. And I don't remember in those 4 years drinking a drop of alcohol during the football season. Now the last game is over. Yeah, to the kegger. Let's go. No doubt. But my life was transformed. How did that happen? How can someone who drinks all the time just stop cold turkey? It starts right here. I was no longer a partier. Now I was a captain of the football team. And it wasn't even hard. I'd go to the parties after the games and I would drink pop. In Iowa, they call it pop. I know you call it something else, soda or something here. Down south, you know what they call all pop? They call it Coke. Yeah, you want an orange Coke or you want a Mountain Dew Coke? Which one do you want? It's true. Am I right? It's right. I would drink pop, not beer. Because my identity, that's the power of identity. Who are you, Christian? You're just a struggling, sinning Christian that kind of hopefully can get by, and I sin all the time. If that's your identity, then that's what you're going to do. If you see yourself as just primarily a sinner, then you're going to sin. If you see yourself the way God does, and I'm going to show you that right now, your true identity. And I gave you this, so you can put it in your Bible and just review that every day this week. This is who you are. These are the things God says about your identity, okay? So you have those. I'm going to go through these quick because I don't want to go long tonight. All right, this is what God says. Your true identity will affect how you live. So who are you? Who are you? Here's what God says. And you have it on that green sheet there. You are a child of God, 1 John 3. You are a child of the King. You belong to God. He's your dad. You are a saint of God. You don't have a halo. No, nobody has, you know, a necklace with you on it. No, but the Bible calls you saints. You are God's righteousness. You are as righteous as God from God's viewpoint. In fact, he transferred his righteousness to you, and he took your sin. That's called the great exchange. He took it for you. You are as righteous as him. Otherwise, you'd never get to heaven. You're righteous and holy. Holy means perfect. You're perfect. You're God's workmanship. He's got things for you to do. He's already planned them out. You are chosen by God. You weren't, you know, down the road and God had to kick the dirt and say, I guess I'll pick him. No, he chose you first. You're on the A team. You're a royal priesthood. You're royalty, way more than King Charles. You're royalty. You're a holy, perfect, altogether we're a holy nation. God sees us that way. We're a new creation. We are righteous by faith, not by what we do. You say, I sin all the time. Well, so do I. Does that make me unrighteous? No, I am righteous in God's sight by faith, not by what I do. If we believe this, it will radically change our lives. So, do your actions reflect your true identity, what we just read there? Do they? Would you look at your life and other people look at your life? Do the people at work, people that know you, your family, do they even see a difference from when you said before you were a Christian? Do they see anything different? They should. You should be different. Is there any evidence that you're a Christian at all? If they were to take you to court and try you for being a Christian, is there any evidence that somebody could, well, I think I saw him pray once for his food. Is there any evidence? Is your life different? It should be. If it's not, then what do we do? That's my last point here. Here's the third key to unlocking our transformed life is to monitor our minds. This is a very practical section. If we want our minds to be transformed, then we have got to do two things with our mind. It's kind of like garbage in, garbage out. So the first thing we need to do is be proactive about what goes into our brain. We got to put good stuff in, truth in, put it in there. Just brainwash, just pour it in like a fire hose, and your life will change. Brainwash yourself. It's not bad to be brainwashed if it's with truth. Do you know we brainwash ourselves every day with social media? 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day, a lot of us. We're brainwashed with that, and most of it's garbage, and we know it. Brainwash yourself with the truth of Jesus. It says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about those things. Get them in your brain. Get them in your brain. If it's lovely, if it's wonderful, it's noble, if it's right, pure, lovely, admirable, get it in there. Ephesians 5 says this. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Okay, see how he connects truth that goes in our brain with our actions. So he's saying, you were taught truth about Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. You've been crucified. It's dead. You're new. Quit living that way. Put it off, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And here it is, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's how you are transformed, is through your mind, what you put in your mind, what you believe. And to put on, that means we got to do something. It's like putting on a coat. We need to put good stuff in our brain. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. How do we do that? Here's just some tips for you. Memorize the Word of God. Memorize it. Join Memory Madness. It's going on right now. Email my wife and say, I want to join. You memorize one verse a week over the course of 10 weeks, and then you quote them all, and you get prizes, you get Starbucks cards. It's awesome. Get the Word in you. Memorize it. I've memorized whole books of the Bible. The book of James, one Sunday morning, I quoted the whole book by heart, the whole book of James, and the book of Titus, and 1 John, and so many. I could quote most of the Proverbs, because I read them every day, and I've done that for over 35 years, every day. Get the Word in you. It will transform you. That's the first thing you can do, okay? Listen to good things. There's so many good podcasts. We have, if not hundreds, thousands of messages on our website. And there's so many other good teachers. Listen to good messages and podcasts. Watch good things. Watch good movies about people of faith. Watch The Chosen. Watch stuff that's going to edify you. Read your Bible and read biographies. You're going to read two things, read this and read biographies. Get that in your brain. Meditate on God's Word. Read this book every day and just think about, maybe take one verse and just think about it and think about it and just get your mind buzzing on it. Just brainwash yourself. It will affect how you live. It's the shot and shell you need every day for the fight you're going to face. So we got to be proactive about what we put in. Number two, we need to be ruthless about what we keep out, because there's a lot of junk out there, isn't there? It's everywhere. Look what Paul said about that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There's somebody that doesn't want to hear you to hear the knowledge of God. The devil doesn't want you to hear truth. We have an enemy. And Paul says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I love that. You say, how do you do that? The way I think of it is this. It's like when I travel, I've traveled a lot lately, and it's like when I go through the airport, I got to go through TSA. So what I'm imagining is a little TSA angel in my brain with a wand and a little machine that my thoughts have to go through. And if that thought isn't right, you know, it pushes it off to the side and goes down a different track, and I got to wait at the other end. They go through my bag, and if it's bad, they throw it out. That happened to me about 4 weeks ago when I went to Omaha. Got to the airport, and I was getting everything out of my pockets, and I pulled out a big wad of keys, and I went, oh, no, I didn't mean to bring my keys, and my wife's already gone. And on my keys, I have a little penknife, a little Swiss Army knife about this big. And I love that knife. It's the best thing. It opens letters. I use it all the time. I thought, oh, man. So I'll be honest. I kind of hit it underneath everything underneath my razor, my electric razor, thinking, oh, I hope they don't see it. Because I'm not going to take it and stab anybody on the plane. Ooh, you know, my little penknife. I'm not going to do that. I know I'm good. So I got to the airport. It got through. And I went, oh, praise God, my penknife. But I forgot about it. And I left it in my bag. So on the way back, it's like, no, my penknife. And I put it back in and went through. And they caught it in Omaha on the way back. And she was really nice about it. And I knew what they were going to do. They're going to throw it away because you can go way over there and get a post and, you know, send it to yourself. I didn't have time. And they just threw it away, so I bought another one. But here's the point. I looked at her and I said, you know, tell your guy he's really good because that's just a tiny little knife. And there are thousands of people plowing through the airport. How on earth did he find that thing? They're really good. That's what I imagine in my brain. Every thought has to go through the TSA. Every thought has to go through it and get scanned, and the bad ones get chucked out. That's what Paul's saying. I take every thought captive. Don't let the bad thoughts come in. Don't let those negative thoughts come in. Don't let those lies from the devil come in. And by the way, he is a liar. He's just a big mouth. Satan just lies all the time. It's like you're in a boxing ring and you're blindfolded. And this little Satan, that's all he is, just that little choppers are bouncing around the ring and saying, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to knock you out, man. Look out, here it comes. And you're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. But he's just a liar. He's a big mouth. So we got to protect ourselves. And it's so subtle. We need to be careful. And I'm going to give you some examples. And some of you, you got to understand, I know there's nuances to what I'm going to share here. I understand the meaning, and there are some good meanings to this, but I'm going to show you what I call bummer stickers. Not bumper stickers, but bummer stickers for me, because I don't think they're the best communication of what a Christian is, okay? That's just me. Again, don't get offended. We're not going to go pull it off your car out here if you haven't, okay? Just a few examples of how we can easily just not have the highest, you know, self-worth as a Christian. This one, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I get that. There's truth in that. But to me, here's what I picture. You know, Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, the donkey that's a little bit despondent and depressed a little bit. I imagine him saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I think, is that all I am? First of all, if you think you're a sinner, guess what you're going to do? I've already talked about that. You're going to sin. I don't fundamentally see myself as a sinner, okay? Do you golf? Yes. Are you a golfer? No. Okay, and saved by grace, like it's no big deal, grace. I think verses like this, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the very righteousness of God. I am as righteous as God. To me, that's a big deal. That's a better bumper sticker. What about this one? Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Okay. I think, really? Didn't we just read a bunch of verses and say we are holy? We are saints? Holy means perfect. The Bible says we are perfect in God's sight as a Christian. And just forgiven. Oh, yeah, just forgiven. You know, I'll just have some French fries and I'm just forgiven. It's like, what's the difference? That's how I read that. I think, no, we are a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We are God's special possession. It's not something that we have to apologize for. I'm just forgiven. No, I am forgiven. Woo! Hallelujah, I'm forgiven. And finally, this one. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You know what? Christians, we are so much more than that. And if this is your identity, it's just like it doesn't give glory to God. Is this, we're just beggars as Christians? Now, I get the nuance, but I read this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Exclamation point. Amen. We got to take what comes into our brain and analyze it. Is this really telling me the truth of who I am in Christ or not? We need to brainwash ourselves. So are you Christian? Well, this is a good quote. I'll read this and then we'll finish. Neil Anderson says, the major strategy of Satan is to distort the character of God and the truth of who we are. He can't change God, and he can't do anything to change our identity and position in Christ. If, however, he can get us to believe a lie, we will live as though our identity in Christ isn't true. So he lies to us all the time, and we just let it come in. We need to be like those little TSA agents and stop it and throw it in the bin and say, that's not getting in. That is not getting in. So, Christian, are you believing the lies or are you brainwashing yourself with the truth? With the truth that we find in the Bible, with the truth that's on the sheet that you're going to read every day this week. Christian, God wants us to have a transformed lives. It starts in our brain. So, in conclusion, let's not be conformed. Let's be transformed. Don't you want to be transformed? Don't you want to live the victorious life that we read about in the Bible, the powerful life that we read about and we see in biographies of people living this life that's like, I want to live that way. It starts in your mind with what you believe. Jesus is the only truth you need to be transformed. We got to believe his truth. And like Mufasa told his son, remember who you are. I just want to leave you with that. Remember, Christian, who you are. Remember who you are. And it'll transform your life. And the most significant transformation you can have is to be born again. Maybe tonight you're thinking, I don't know if I was even born again yet. He was talking about that born again stuff. I don't know if that's me. If you're not sure that you are a Bible-believing, born again Christian tonight, that you are signed, sealed, and delivered on your way to heaven, you're not 100% confident of that, come talk to me tonight. Talk to one of the pastors. Talk to our connections booth. We would love to share with you how you can be born again, what that means, and how that will transform not only your mind but your heart and prepare you for heaven. You can have that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. And I thank you for the truth we find in your word, what you say about us, God, that we're children of God, we're saints and righteous and holy and workmanship. We're a holy nation, a new creation. Thank you that the old is gone. And the new has come. Would you help us live that way? Would you help us believe what's true and keep the lies out of our brains so that we can be transformed into the likeness of you? We want that. We want that power, God. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.